In your name we pray. Amen.
Please, if you will, open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. The title I've given this is Scattered Preachers. In the work that I do at the seminary, each year at graduation time, we have at least anticipated scattering of preachers. Last year, one of the most significant in my 7 years at the seminary is I think 10 RP pastors were sent out at graduation. Jonathan Cruz from our congregation, Alan Blackwood here while he was at seminary. We do that year after year. The scattering of preachers in Acts chapter 8 is a little bit different from that. But that one is probably more like what I want to call us to consider than what we actually see in Acts 8, and yet may we learn from what God gives us here in Acts 8. I think you're familiar with the book of Acts. Someone has summarized it this way. It's, what did it take for the disciples of Jesus Christ to become witnesses of Christ throughout the world, and what will it take for us? And so I'd encourage you to be thinking about that as we hear from the Word of God in Acts chapter 8. Just to get the context, I think you will all know it, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 59 of Acts chapter 7. This is the Word of God. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed, crying with a loud voice, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And we'll end here the reading of the Word of God. And may God add his blessing to us as we hear and apply his word. The church was scattered. This great persecution broke out in response to the unjust death of Stephen. The intensity that was there at his stoning only increased. We could imagine a shark smelling blood going for the kill over and over and over. And Saul was making havoc of the church. This one who had stood at the feet of those who were throwing stones at Stephen had kept their coats, giving approval to his death, was raging against the church. He describes himself as a violently arrogant man, as the chief of sinners. And yet we know that in a few pages, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the work of Christ in converting even him. But at this point, he was raging against the church, and the church was scattered. They were dispersed for their own safety. Everyone, we're told, except the apostles, were scattered. And probably the reference is to all of those who had been given the task of preaching besides the apostles. They were scattered. For we see that there were some who were still there, men and women who were being grabbed and thrown into prison for their faith and for their testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought never desire persecution, but we ought to prepare for it. What would we do if the preachers in Pittsburgh, including our pastor, were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel? It's a lot less of a stretch of my imagination than it was when I was a boy in this country in which we live. But sometimes God brings out of the worst things amazing things. When I pastored in Evansville, Indiana, we were seeking to have a bit of ministry at the University of Southern Indiana. Charlie Harrington, one of the men in our congregation, was an administrator at USI, and we started a Bible study and sought to reach out to students. And the Lord, in his providence, brought a birth to Charlie and Kelly of Amelia, who died at age eight days. And every senior administrator from the University of Southern Indiana came to the little storefront building we rented as a church to hear her funeral sermon. And Charlie said to me afterwards, we'd been praying to reach that university with the gospel. And God answered that in a way we would never have asked for or expected. So pray for good. Accept hard times if they come, and pray that God will bring good out of them. The church was scattered, and everyone who was scattered, all except the apostles were scattered, and everyone who was scattered went preaching. Wherever they went, they preached the good news. And there are a lot of different words for preaching in the book of Acts. This one that's here in Acts 8, verse 4, they went proclaiming, preaching the word. It's it, If we were going to translate the Greek directly into English, it would be the closest to our word evangelizing. And yet it's used most of the time in the scripture of those who have the particular call, who are being sent out by the church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are other words here in this text and throughout the book of Acts that have different senses of meaning. In verse 5, that Philip went and proclaimed Christ to them. Again, that is a word that's normally used of the official herald of this gospel message, but it's also used, interestingly, in the gospels of those who talked about the things that Jesus had done as he healed and saved them. And then in verse 25, this word, when they had spoken the word of the Lord, that's a very common word. They talked about God. Some have suggested you could translate it, they gossiped about the gospel. It was just part of their everyday conversation. And so whether your call is to be a preacher sent by the church or whether your call is to be a gossiper about the gospel, might it be that you, as you are scattered, go preaching. If because of the persecution of the church, the non-apostle preachers were scattered to preach, is it not reasonable to conclude that as the non-preachers are gathered then scattered week by week in the assembly of the Lord's people and then scattered into the places where God has sent them, that they will talk about Christ wherever they go? Where is God scattering you? We've gathered together this weekend, many of us, not all of us from the church, but each Lord's Day we gather together to worship. And then we're scattered, in a sense. Now, thankfully, we're not scattered terribly far. I mentioned the map that Vicki put together, a Google map that you can find where all the members of the church are. And you can ask one of the elders if you'd like to see that. It's not something that we publicize, but it's certainly available information to us. You're scattered to your appointed boundaries, those places and times that the Lord has placed you in, nearby others whose places and times the Lord has brought to intersect with yours. Might you be, as you're scattered week after week, looking for those who God says are seeking Him, that they might find Him. And some of them maybe seeking Christ from you, maybe wanting to hear a word about Christ from you, may want to know, why do you go to church every Sunday and then you go about your week? What difference does that make in your life? Are you speaking about the gospel as you're scattered week by week? Are you willing to be those who are scattered and proclaim Christ? And what did these scattered preachers do? Again, even though they were probably those officially sent ones, all of us can learn from this. What is it that they did? Well, they proclaimed Christ, we're told in verse 5. That was the message of the New Testament church. All of us probably have that one friend who has just one message. And whenever we talk to that one friend, we know what the topic of conversation is going to be. And some of us are that one friend. And I want to encourage you to be that one friend whose message, no matter who talks to you, is about Jesus Christ. Who people think about you and think, they don't ever talk about anything but Jesus. I don't mean in an obnoxious way. The gospel is offensive. We don't have to be offensive with the gospel. But might it be that when people think of you and me, they think they always want to talk about Jesus. Not just the unbelievers around you, but together with each other. As I mentioned this weekend, I think one of the reasons that we're awkward about talking about Jesus to non-Christians is because we don't talk about Jesus enough with each other. And so even today, as we go from here, as we sit at lunch together, talk about Jesus. You don't have to sit up here and have a written out testimony, as we were very encouraged to hear, or sit or stand. You can share your testimony over the lunch table. You can break bread and break the bread of life together. These scattered preachers preached They had one message. Him we proclaim, Jesus the Christ. And notice in verse 12, what else did they preach? They preached the kingdom of God. They preached that there is a kingdom that has a king, and that king is Jesus. And we're told in the proclamation of the disciples in the book of Acts that they turned the world upside down as they proclaimed this kingdom and this king, Jesus. I mentioned this method of presentation through the gospel called Two Ways to Live. Let me give you just a quick summary of Two Ways to Live. It has 6 points. It begins with God, the good ruler and creator, telling us, as the Bible does, that God is the ruler of the world, that He made the world, and that He made you and me to rule His good world, giving thanks and honor to Him. But then we see in history and we see in our life our rebellion against God. By nature, we all reject God as our ruler. We determine to run our own lives, our own way. And by rebelling against God's way, we damage ourselves and we damage each other and we damage the world. And because of that, we're confronted with the justice of God. God won't let us rebel against Him forever. And God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. And if the story were to end there, we would have no hope. But the story, as we know, doesn't end there. God sent Jesus to die for us. Because of His love, God sent His Son into the world. The eternal Son of God became the man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus always lived under God's rule. And I think you can find an easy conversation with your non-Christian friends and neighbors about how often they always keep not just God's standards, but even their own standards. How often do they always do what they think is right? And the contrast with Jesus, who always did what was right. And then, in a way that is unbelievable, Jesus took our punishment by dying for our sins. Not merely the physical death of the cross, but the just wrath of God poured out on Him. For me, the sinner. For you, the sinner. But God raised Jesus to life again. He didn't stay dead. If He had stayed dead, we'd have no hope. Our gospel would be worthless. Our proclamation of Christ without a resurrection would not count for anything. Barry York at the seminary says over and over to his students, and I try to continue that in my evangelism class, if you're talking about the gospel and you leave out the resurrection, you haven't gotten the gospel all the way through. It's because Christ has been raised that our faith is not in vain. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler and the judge of the world, and Jesus has conquered death and now brings forgiveness and new life and will return in glory, and that leaves us with two ways to live, two choices of how you and I will live our lives. Our way is to reject God as ruler, to live our own way, to be damaged by rebellion, to face death and judgment. But God's new way is to submit to Jesus, the King of this kingdom, to submit to Him as my ruler, to rely on His death and resurrection, to receive from God through Jesus Christ forgiveness for my sins, and to receive a new life that lasts forever. And so we can ask, as we go about being scattered, those friends, those neighbors, those relatives around us, which way do you want to live? Which way will you live? These who preached the kingdom. And notice too, especially in the example here of Philip the evangelist, probably not Philip the disciple, but the one of the 6 who was set apart as one of the first deacons in Acts chapter 6, how they followed the guidance of God. Philip received supernatural guidance. We maybe shouldn't expect that God would miraculously transport us to another place. But you've probably had the experience of the prompting of the Spirit of God. Go talk to that man. Go talk to that woman. Don't be afraid. I will be with you and will give you the words to say, which is not an excuse to never think about what words to say, but follow the guidance of God as you seek to be scattered and gossip about the gospel. What else did these scattered preachers do as they preached? Well, they knew the Bible. Let me invite you, if you have a copy of God's words with you, God's Word with you, to turn to page 745. Turn to page 745 in your copy of the Bible with you. Really, if you have a Bible, turn to page 745. It's not a joke. It's not a trick. I'm not raising my hand. Page 745. Do you know what it's about? Do you know what it meant to the original hearers? Do you know by application of the Spirit of God what it means to hearers today? And could you explain it to someone who is saying, what is this passage about? Well, I want to encourage you, get to know your Bible better. Ask the elders of the church here, how can I know the Bible better? Ask Pastor Pete, how can I know the Bible better? And let me just encourage you to read it over and over and over. I like Pete's Bible reading plan. Get your Bible, start reading, and when you've finished, start reading again. And you might think, well, I read it, but it just doesn't seem to stick. Well, a story was told of an old woman who had nothing but an old dirty basket to haul water. And so she went to the river and she filled the basket with water and she walked back to her home. And when she got there, the basket was empty. And so she walked back to the river and filled it with water and walked to her home. And when she got there, the basket was empty. And so she went again to the river and she dipped the basket and she filled it with water and she walked to her home. And when she got there, the basket was empty. But she realized that the basket was also clean. And so if the Word of God seems to just drift through you like water out of a basket, realize that it's also cleaning you. It's washing you. It's doing a work that God promises His Word will do. So don't give up. Now maybe you can get a bucket every now and then, but be willing to know your Bible. And then what else did they do? Not only did they know the Scripture, but they preached Jesus from the Old Testament. Again, if you're on page 745, can you talk about Jesus from that passage? Because he says it's all about him. Now you say, well, Philip had it easy. He had the prophet Isaiah, probably Isaiah 53. I mean, anybody can talk about a Jesus from Isaiah 53. Even Jews get angry when Isaiah 53 is read because they accuse Christians of reading from their New Testament scriptures till they see that it's from the Old Testament. But Jesus is there on every page. And you and I need to think about how do we see Jesus here? How can I explain who Jesus is here? Don't think of the Old Testament as just moralistic stories, but think, how do I understand Jesus from this text? If page 745 in your Bible is all you had, could you explain Christ savingly? Now, we have more than just page 745. Don't be restricted to that. But preach Jesus from the whole of the Scripture. And not only did they preach Jesus from the whole of the Scripture, but they preached Jesus from wherever they went. Philip had this miraculous encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he was somewhere else. He found himself at Azotus. Well, here I am. I might as well proclaim Jesus here. And so you and I can proclaim Jesus, can gossip about the gospel, or if you're sent in a formal way, proclaim Christ wherever God takes you. Whether it's at work, whether it's on the playground, whether it's walking down the street. I mentioned, not because there's any credit to me, but I saw a man riding my bike to work on Thursday, and then I rode to work on Friday, and I walked down to the shop and back, and I saw him again. And I thought, I'm going to give this man a tract. Perhaps God has put him on my path 2 days in a row for me to think about his eternal state. And we had a very brief conversation. He said, thank you, and he took it. I don't know what God will do with it, but as best I could tell, I felt the prompting of the Spirit of God to speak to this man in a very brief way about Christ. And might you and I speak about Christ wherever we go, wherever we go. And then what happened? What are the results? What happens when you speak about Christ? Well, some people will pay attention to the message. That's what happened in verse 6. They'd been listening to Simon. He had a compelling show. I mean, he had magic, and he had a neat story. And people said, he's great, or he is from the God who's great. What's the message people around you are listening to? We ought to know it, at least know part of what it is, and know how much more compelling our message is than their message. Christianity is better than whatever the unbelievers around you are listening to. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? That Christianity is better? That I have something valuable to offer them because of Christ, not because of me, not in any way because of me, but I have something better for them. More compelling than the most dramatic magic show you could imagine. I have Christ. And people received it. They believed it. They became followers of Christ. I don't have time to talk about the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We know that it happened on occasion in a different way than it seems to happen normally in the life of God's work of salvation. It happened at Pentecost. It happened with the gospel coming here to the Samaritans. It happened as the gospel came to the Gentiles. But just know that the Spirit of God is at work, causing people to pay attention to the message. You might think, I'm not going to share the message of the gospel with my non-Christian friend because they won't listen. Let them decide. If you don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, I can guarantee you that they will not listen. I can't guarantee that they will listen if you share, but the Spirit of God may cause them to listen and to believe. And some may profess falsely. What do we do with Simon? Well, we give a name to a bad practice, simony, trying to sell the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was at the OPC General Assembly a few years ago with a display table for the seminary, and heard the strangest thing, something I never thought I would hear at a general assembly of a Church of Jesus Christ. A man three tables over said, this is not a joke, he literally said, I can sell you the gift of the Holy Spirit for 30% off. Now it turned out, it's not what he meant to be heard. He was selling old books. And he was offering the person to whom he was talking a book by that title, and he was offering him 30% off. But I've seen that man a couple more times at the OPC General Assembly, and we always have a laugh about his simony. Was Simon a believer or not? He believed, he was baptized, and then Peter condemned his money and his soul. And then he asked Peter to pray for him. We don't know. We can leave that to God. I don't know if Simon was genuinely converted or not, but some will respond falsely. But others will believe. And what about you? How will you respond to the message of the gospel? Notice this strong warning given to Simon. Don't think you can gain money or that you can give the gift of God with money. Christianity is not just means to an end. And so maybe you're just here for a relaxing weekend. Or maybe you just come to church because you've heard that's a good place to meet girls. It is a good place to meet girls, but for Christian guys and Christian girls. The call of the gospel, if you've not repented and believed, is repent. Hear Christ and believe him that you may not perish, but may have an everlasting life. And when Christ is proclaimed, some will believe unto salvation. Jonah was a reluctant evangelist. First time God called him in Jonah chapter 1, he ran away. Beginning of chapter 3 is exactly the same words that God said to Jonah. Get up, go to Nineveh, and proclaim this to them. And Jonah went, and he proclaimed, and Nineveh repented. We're led to believe that many came to faith in the God who saves us and the God who saved them. But here in Acts chapter 8, many in Samaria believed unto salvation. And this Ethiopian eunuch, who had been to Jerusalem to worship, probably a God-fearing, not a Jew probably, but one who respected the God of the Jews, and he wanted to know more about this God. And as Philip explained to him who Jesus was, he sought to be baptized and repented in faith. And so pray for lasting results when you and others proclaim Christ. Pray for people to repent and believe unto salvation. You see, we gather every Lord's Day, not just us, but churches all around the world. And I don't suspect Satan likes it much when the church assembles for worship. But I imagine he's pretty okay with it if when we leave, when we're scattered, we just forget about it until next Lord's Day. Instead of that, as we scatter today and week by week, may we talk about Christ wherever we go. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, what glorious good news. For some of us, maybe we've been a Christian so long that we've forgotten the wonder. For some of us, maybe we just don't talk enough about this Jesus who has saved us from our sin. For some of us, we're engaging right now, not this moment, but this week past and this week coming, in speaking of Christ to unbelieving friends and relatives and neighbors who seem to not be willing to listen. Holy Spirit, would you open their hearts and would you open our mouths? And would you fill us with joy, even as we sow the seed with tears? And would you enable us, the members and the friends of Covenant Fellowship Reformed Presbyterian Church, would you enable us to reap a harvest? And Lord, would you continue your work in us, that we would speak about the Lord Jesus wherever we go? We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.